Lauren Daigle dropped from performance because of ties with Bethel's Sean Foyt event. And it's not loving to lack discernment. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we're going to talk a lot about discernment. We're going to talk about what the Bible actually says about it. And is it unloving to have discernment? Because that is what so many nominal, by name only Christians will tell you, that it is not, it's so loving to just lack in discernment and just welcome everybody in as if everyone's believers when they really aren't. And then you find out that that's not loving whatsoever. And it's interesting when we look at a recent story that happened in New Orleans, and I want to get to that, but I wanted to just thank you guys and just give another quick update with Joe. He's back at home. I'll be going over there right after recording here tonight and spending some time with him. He's feeling better. I got a text from Lisa just asking, hey, how's he doing, his wife? And I text him as well, but I figured Lisa would give me the longer version on how he's doing. But he's good. They have his heartbeat in a range that they wanted in. They still, obviously, he's in AFib, so we want to get him out of there as soon as possible. But I think they need the heart to strengthen a little bit, so they're working on that. And so just... You know what? I've probably said it on every show this last week, but I'll keep saying it because it is amazing how many people that I didn't even know follow the ministry, people from all over the world that are like, hey, I've just been keeping up to date about everything that's going on, all the updates, everything of Joe. And it's just really cool to see that and see you guys praying for him, recognizing that he is a great voice out there, you know, when it comes to truth and getting a lot of the information out there concerning the Antichrist systems, getting a lot of the information out concerning the, you know, culture today and where it's headed, where it's been, where it's going, all of that. And also just sharing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. And, you know, one of the things I remember when I was a waiter and I thought about different businesses that I wanted to get into before I was saved, one of the big things that we talk about is how do you get money that is, you're still earning money while you're sleeping. You know, you just have all these investments everywhere and you're still earning money while you're sleeping. And something I remember talking with Joe about before I was even saved, I said, isn't this crazy? We're going to go to bed tonight. And this is when the Beyonce video was like 50,000 views every night. It was pretty incredible what was going on when that first came out, the Beyonce, Sasha, the Super Bowl, and Satan. And I remember saying, Joe, think about that. How many lifetimes would it take to go out on the streets as we do? I think I was going out that night to go share the gospel on the streets of Santa Monica to get someone to actually listen to you, let alone 50,000 people in the course of 12 hours or 8 hours or whatever it was at the time. I'm like, can you imagine that? And something I brought out is I said, guys, this is so cool. When I see all the numbers on Good Fight Ministries YouTube, when I see the podcast show numbers and stuff, I'm like, guys, this is, we put the work in, we pray. You know, Tony does all the hard work in terms of, you know, actually figuring out the audio and uploading and all that stuff. And, you know, we dig into the word together and we share these things and people come to faith. People wrote in just this last week about how they found our ministry a few months ago. They've never been in the Bible before like this. And now they're digging in the scriptures. So just wanted to put that out there. I know that's a long intro. I didn't mean for it to be, but I wanted to thank you guys. And I want to thank you guys who have, you know, come alongside of us in prayer. And I want to thank you guys who come alongside of us financially and helped out the ministry, especially during COVID. That's radical. It's radical and crazy that, you know, while people are losing their jobs and stuff, you know, that they're still wanting to help support in any way they can. And, you know, we've had people reach out and say, hey, I don't have money and stuff. And, you know, I don't care. We're going to send stuff out to you. You know, anything we can as a ministry to help, we'll also try to be there as well. So I want to thank you guys for that. You guys have been awesome. All of our new Patreons, everything that's going on. So praise God. And so let's get into what the 511 News is all about. What, talking about what's going on, talking about the things that there's not much of a water cooler anymore, but maybe in your Zoom meeting at your work, you can talk about these things, or hey, you can still go out and share the gospel, all right? There's plenty of people at Target and Walmart and Lowe's and different places. You may have a mask on, but you can still share the gospel, okay? The gospel is the power of salvation, and it can get right through a mask if you need to share it. And so you guys got it. Let's get out there and you know, put on our gospel shoes and go out there and share it. And one of the things that happens is we want to make sure that when we see things happen that are in Christendom, so to speak, or in the name of Christendom, and also bleed into the culture, and when you find out different artists are dropped because of associations, I think that we really need to recognize those things and be able to, if somebody asks us questions, be able to give an answer like, hey, this is what's going on. Why did this girl get... you know, said, why would she go and sing, and why would all this stuff happen? And recently, and guys, I'm going to get into a couple of the articles we've written on goodfight.org concerning Lauren Daigle, somebody who, as Tony and I were talking about, when it comes to a lot of different Christian artists or, you know, teachers and so forth, typically the sad part is that whenever there is a little bit of smoke, there's usually a raging fire to follow. And that has just simply been something that has been par for the course when it comes to researching things and looking into a lot of who is popularized, who explodes, who gets big, all that stuff. And that's exactly what happened with Lecrae, for example. A lot of people had a lot of questions about Lecrae, and I think that he has really shown his true colors. He's been in and out and in and out, you know, wanting to get away from white evangelicalism, and then, you know, coming and, you know, making abortion this issue that is hard to understand. And, you know, even though he admitted in 2015 to having paid for an abortion, and then, you know, now in 2020, he's coming out with these, you know, these philosophical things that people do where they say things like, oh, well, I'm for pro-life to from the womb to the tomb, you know, and you're like, well, you know what? I think that you're actually being disingenuous here. And when you're sitting there talking about impoverished people, by the way, who are the ones at the soup kitchens? Who are the ones at the Salvation Army? Who are the ones all over this planet who are actually serving the poor and impoverished in this community? Let's not act like it isn't the same people that believe that babies shouldn't be slaughtered in the womb. That's just a lie. Okay, and it actually is a bait and switch, so you can really get across some other message and you can speak on both sides of your tongue. But this isn't an episode about Lecrae. It's just I'm using him as an example. And when it came to Lauren Daigle, for example, we wrote an article concerning why it matters that you would be embarrassed to be called a Christian. It's one thing to say, you know, I live in America where the term Christian has been diluted. The term Christian is anyone that has, you know, some speck of love, you know, garnered by a definition given to them by Webster's or the world. And that's not at all what a Christian is. A Christian is, according to Scripture, a blood-bought believer. It was an insult given to believers. It was something that they called people because it was people that their outward walk with Christ was so evident that they called them Christians in spite of them. And then when you read in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter clearly says that if you are called this name, you should wear it with honor. You should glorify God in that name. So when we see quote-unquote Christian artist saying, I'd rather just be called an artist, that more exemplifies what I am, I'm like, what are you talking about? Where is your identity? If your identity is not found in Christ, where is it found? If it's found in your artistry, that's just an idol. If it's found in your marriage, that you're identified, that this is who I am, I'm just this guy who's married. If it's found in your favorite sports team, these are idols. They need to be broken down. You need to love your family. You need to love your wife. You need to, whatever you put to your hands, do it with all your might. But first and foremost, God needs to be the center. And the identifiable property of the believer should be that they love Jesus. And they see that outward. and that it's so evident that you can't miss it. So whenever an artist would say something like, I don't really want to be called a Christian, I have not only a red flag, I have a stop sign to listening to their music. It's a big, big problem for me that you would be embarrassed because you think you're going to be able to, once I'm so much like the world and once I'm embarrassed of being called and being acclaimed to be of Christ, I'm so embarrassed by that, I'm so shamed of that, then finally the world will accept me and then I'll be able to get in my message. Why would anybody want to become a Christian after listening to someone who was ashamed of him? I just wonder. But nonetheless, if it wasn't bad enough, that whole spiel, and I'm sure Tony probably is laughing over there in his seat because he knows it's a big pet peeve of both him and I. And funny enough, I can't tell you how many, you know, whenever somebody has a worship guitar or something, they're the ones that want to come tell you why it's okay that they said this. And I'm like, it's not okay. Like, if somebody said to me, I'm not a wrestling coach anymore, but I was known, very well known, as the Christian wrestling coach because I would share the gospel with the other coaches and I wouldn't go out drinking with them and do their debaucherous things. And not that they all were like that, but a number of them definitely were, especially when you go to tournaments in Vegas, you're like, what just happened to this guy? I thought he was a nice guy. But nonetheless, I would never be like, well, first I want to identify as a coach. I don't want to be known as a Christian coach. The plumber down the street who wraps his car in, you know, whatever Genesis plumbing and stuff like this that you see on driving down the street. And somebody goes, oh, I want to get that Christian plumber. I hope that that's the thing that he identifies as. And so, yes, it is a major pet peeve of mine. But nonetheless, Lauren Daigle has been dropped from the New Year's Eve celebration. She's not allowed to sing at the New Year's Eve celebration, and I think that most of her music is somewhat ambiguous enough that they don't mind that they play that at their secular event. But they do if you're connected with and a part of an event thrown by a heretic. Bah, they don't care that he's a heretic, but we'll get into why they care of her association with and participation of an event thrown by Sean Foyt. Now, you might have heard me talk about Sean Foyt in other shows, but I might have referred to him as Sean Fucht because the weird spelling of his name. But Sean Foyt, now look what I've done. Sean Foyt is from Bethel. And Sean Foyt has run for office here in California and has been supported by those, obviously, in the NAR movement. And then one of the first people to support him alongside of him was Charlie Kirk. In terms of any political realm, in terms of even commentating and so forth. And then we saw Sean Foyt's events being thrown locally here. Sadly, I was in Texas or Mexico at the time, so I didn't get to go out and share. And we had just finished the Bethel documentary we were working on, and I wanted to bring some DVDs. But, you know, Tony's been working on that, by the way, so that we could hand them out to people to warn them of the dangers of Bethel. But nonetheless, yeah, that same event that was thrown there in Huntington Beach, a place where we share the gospel all the time down there on the streets, was promoted in the same way, the same images posted about from Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel in Chino Hills. And so this is not like some small reaching thing. This is not some small thing. A bunch of believers that I love, that I know love Jesus, that I figured had discernment, and I think it could be a blind spot, they just didn't know, see this guy throwing events and the faux persecution that's happening to him, and quite often they're posting about, look at this awesome worship thing that's going on, not realizing who they're tying themselves to. And one of the things that breaks my heart is the fact that the non-believers here would say, I don't want to be associated with Sean Foyt. You shouldn't be having this woman who would associate herself with Sean Foyt. Now, I'm going to read from the article because their reasons I do believe are somewhat ridiculous, but nonetheless, and I do believe it has to do with the Christian faith, I will say that, but nonetheless, so often Christians do not care that they're associating themselves with Sean Foyt, and do not mind posting themselves and his videos as if they're good things when they are not. It is not a good thing. You have to understand, this is something that I was discussing at a recent Bible study at my house. Somebody was asking about end times, Antichrist, and things like this. The Bible is very clear. Everyone, I don't know what it is and who has convinced everyone that there is this great revival in the end times. That's not what's going to take place. It's not at all. What you see multiple times in the scriptures is the great falling away. Now, I'm not worried about Democrats who love murdering babies falling away from the faith. I don't think they're in it. The people I am concerned about are those who get wrapped up in the New Apostolic Reformation, are those who get wrapped up in dominionist theology, in Reconstructionism, and think that they are going to build the kingdom of heaven here on earth because they will get their Christ, and it's not the Christ that we know. The one that is going to come and go into secret rooms, Christ said that is not him. He will be like lightning shining from the east to the west. So I want to run away from that. And what is sad is that is exactly and precisely what Sean Foyt promotes. And that is exactly and precisely his idea of dominion is what he believes is going to take place here in the United States and then going forward. All these prophecies and everything that they have, these people under the New Apostolic Reformation with their new apostles, you know, I mean, guys, this is not a joke. And when I look at it and the warning is not for the great falling away of the Democrats, it's the great falling away, the apostasia, people apostatizing. You can't leave something you were never a part of. I recognize that those who support abortion are of the Antichrist. I'm sorry. Those who support those things, I don't have to worry about them falling away. I have to worry about them sharing the gospel with them. Because if they love Jesus, they won't want to murder babies. But what I do worry about are so many people that are wrapped up in this movement, this false movement of this false spirit, these false signs and wonders, all the things that Scripture warns about. So I want to have true discernment. And the fact is that so many people say, you're just not loving, you're focusing on the wrong things. I believe that the letter that Paul wrote in prison to the church of Philippi is the most loving letter that we see outside of the letters that Jesus wrote to the Church of Philadelphia and so forth in the book of Revelation. But this letter from the apostle is probably the most loving letter of commendation to them. And so when we think about, is discernment loving? Let's see in the most loving letter written by the apostle Paul in this scripture what he has to say concerning discernment. Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 8, he says, "For God is my witness, how long for you all who, how I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." And I'm not trying to exegete this whole text, but I can't help but think about that. How I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. How much should we be praying that we have the affection of Jesus Christ when we're talking to our brethren? How much should we long for that affection? I think we all need to. Verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more." Should it stop there? No, we shouldn't stop there. Let's finish what he means by that. "In real knowledge and in all discernment." You see that? When he's accompanying, I hope that sounded right, love with discernment, we need to do it as well. And here's what he says, "so that," it connects the previous statement, "so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Guys, this is beyond important that we understand that true love has true discernment. There is a separation from that which is wicked than from that which is true and righteous and holy and loving. We need to recognize these things. True discernment will bring you to a place where you say, we do love them. I want the heretic to repent. I want the heretic to repent. And me accompanying myself and heaping myself false teachers that'll tickle my ear and tell me about this kingdom that we can build as we convert more people and we get control of the government and then we have dominion over this nation and we get the seven mountains and we mandate them. Those people we need to mark and avoid because the only loving thing is to show them in all love and knowledge and discernment that they are wrong and they are on the pathway to bringing on the Antichrist and helping the great falling away. Because that's what the scripture tells me. I will say it over and over again. And it's something that I will continue to hark on until I die. That the great falling away, I'm not worried about the Democrat. I'm not worried about the Muslim. I'm not worried about them concerning the great falling away. I'm worried about their salvation, that they would know Jesus. It is those that are claiming Christ. It is those who that are in the church that I am concerned about the great falling away. So when I see that other people mark and avoid heretics, I need to say, how on earth do they have more discernment than so many in the Christian church? I'm going to read straight from the article here on the Christian Post concerning what happened. Following a complaint, quote, following a complaint from the mayor of New Orleans, popular Christian singer Lauren Daigle has reportedly been removed from the lineup for the annual Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve broadcast. New Year's Mayor LaToya Cantrell, a Democrat, wrote a letter to Amy Thurlow, president of Dick Clark Productions, expressing, quote, urgent concerns about the scheduled appearance of Daigle at the New Year's Eve celebration, scheduled to be broadcast live from New Orleans for the Central Time Zone. Cantrell's concerns surrounded Daigle's participation in a Let Us Worship rally in the last month. According to the office of Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, a Republican, Cantrell's December 9th letter to Dick Clark Productions resulted in, quote, a decision by Dick Clark Productions to pull Lauren Daigle from the lineup and any celebration from Louisiana to be broadcast worldwide. According to NBC's New Orleans affiliate, quote, a city spokesperson said that only Daigle was pulled from the lineup and the New Year's Eve event will still go on. And it says this, quote, I cannot, in good conscience, support the involvement of singer Lauren Daigle, who just last month participated in an unpermitted live performance which placed my residents in danger and threatened the tremendous progress New Orleans has made in combating the COVID-19 pandemic, Cantrell wrote in a letter. As Cantrell noted, Lauren performed at the Let Us Worship rally in New Orleans French Quarter on November 7th. The rally is one of several spearheaded by who? Worship artist Sean Foyt, in response to restrictions placed on houses of worship in response to the novel virus. Cantrell referred to Foyt as a provocateur and slammed Daigle's participation in an unpermitted event that was in violation of critical public health guidelines my administration has put in place to save lives in our city. Now, just so you know, Lauren Daigle goes on, I guess her representative said that she didn't know that what was going on. She was just happened to be riding her bike by and came up and sang with Mr. Foyt because they're an acquaintance because of the Christian music scene. Kind of seems like a really weird excuse, but whatever. I can take her at her word and still say, why did you participate with that heretic? But this isn't the only event that she's doing for Christmas or she's been a part of for Christmas. Because if it wasn't bad enough that Lauren Daigle came alongside, I guess by accident, fell on top of a stage and began singing. If it wasn't only that, she also recently headlined a wonderful presentation of Christmas Under the Stars on BYU TV. BYU, named after Brigham Young, yes, the same man that in chapter 10, page 110 of Journal of Discourses, in his preaching canon for those who are Mormons, Brigham Young said, if a person of the chosen seed, of what of the black race, of what of the African race, if a person of the chosen seed sleeps with a person of the unchosen seed, that they shall be put to death, and it shall always be so. She sang for Brigham Young TV, Brigham Young University TV, and headline their concert for the Mormons and did podcast shows with them. And now the Deseret Bookstore online, if you go, you can now buy Lauren Daigle's CD at the Deseret Bookstore. Because apparently, The ambiguous nature of her music allows and allots for the Mormons to also worship the same God that she is worshiping. And guys, if we have no discernment here, and don't get me wrong, there's been some people made some, I believe, some grave mistakes. I think, I mean, obviously Ravi Zacharias has made a number of grave mistakes, but one of the biggest ones I think that got a lot of people, you know, their ears kind of pinned was when he did speak at the Mormon Tabernacle, and also when he was asked not to use the Lord's name in a prayer service that he did, I believe with the Family Coalition or something of that nature, and he agreed to say a prayer without using the Lord Jesus's name, those kind of things. But nonetheless, guys, what is this lack of discernment? Who are her managers? Who are the people around her? Now, I have come to a place, you know, she was also the one who said she didn't know whether or not homosexuality was a sin because she has a lot of friends who are homosexuals. But a big problem with that is nobody answers any other sin that way, right? When somebody asks me if lying is a sin, I'm like, oh, I got a lot of friends that are liars, so it's really hard for me to answer that. When someone asks me if adultery is a sin, which is a better analogy, because the Bible actually mentions when it comes to sexual sin, it says that it's a sin against our own body. So when somebody asks me about adultery or fornication, I go, oh, I got so many friends that are fornicators and family that I love who've cheated on their spouses. So I don't know. I don't know whether or not those things are sins. I think that's just a terrible argument, and it doesn't show true love. She has apparently, you know, at the time of that interview, I believe she had been saved for over 14 years. Could you imagine going 14 years without ever getting to the book of Romans or 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, or Leviticus, and not, or Matthew chapter 19, over and over again, what God's plan is? Guys, this is really important. And I ask you, why? Why would you listen to the music of somebody who that lacked this amount of discernment, that would literally go and be with a heretic like Sean Foyt, that would go and speak at and sing and perform at the Mormon Tabernacle, not there to reprove? When Paul showed up on the scene in Acts chapter 17, he didn't go to all the other gods and say, well, these are wonderful too, and I'm just going to sit here and tell you about Jesus. No, I'm going to tell you about the true God. The things that you are worshiping are not the true God. And here is the one true God, the one who made the heavens and the earth. Here is the one true God that it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor or where you've been born, you know that the time and the place of your habitation, the reason you are there for one purpose and one purpose only, that you may seek, grope, and find God. That's why we've been created. So it's not loving to point people to a false God. It's not loving to point people to false movements of the spirit that are in line with antichrist spirits, things that are absolutely positively signs and wonders ministries. Guys, the ministry, quote unquote, of Bethel is no ministry of the Lord. And I encourage you guys to check out our series, Bethel or Beth-Hell, examining the teachings of Bethel and Bill Johnson. And guys, this is really, really important, because it's high time to pay attention to discernment. It's high time to pay attention to love and have enough love in your heart to share with people what the truth is, so that when they see these movements and they align themselves with these movements, that we're able to speak truth in love to them and say, guys, that's not a true movement of the Spirit. Let's go back to the Word of God and what the Word of God says, because it's very clear in the Word of God that love is accompanied by discernment. And the Bible says this: love rejoices in the truth. Love doesn't rejoice in false movements. Love doesn't rejoice in conspiracies. Love rejoices in the truth. And that we should have all wisdom, all knowledge, and all discernment. I pray that for each and every one of us. I'm going to read that Philippians text one more time to finish up this show, because it's such a beautiful text, and I'll read it without commentary to finish up here. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless to the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 511 News.